Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the last installment for this summer of the series on Rav Moshe and his halachic adversaries. I again want to thank Rav Shai Schechter Shlita for arranging the entire series of shiurim with all of the other speakers, and it's been a tremendous zechus for me to participate in this wonderful, wonderful program. So tonight is our last discussion of Rav Moshe and another contemporary gadol who we disagreed with, and I wanted to pick one that was a major disagreement and one that was a major gadol. So tonight we're going to talk about Rav Moshe's machlokes with Rav Henkin, Zichrono Livracha, about civil and reform marriages. There's rarely a psak that is more high impact than this kind of psak. It relates to hundreds, if not thousands, of shilas of mamzerus and eshes ish. These are areas that are most sensitive and precious to the Jewish people, issues relating to yichus. So first, a little bit about Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was born in Belarus in 1881. He's a descendant, I think a fifth or sixth generation descendant of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He came to America in 1922 and he died in 1973. So for 50 years he was a Rav in America, and he's buried right here. I don't know where everybody else is, but I'm here in North Woodmere. He's buried in Elmont. You can go to Kivrei Tzadikim Teretz Yisrael, or you can go to Elmont and go to Kivrei Tzadikim of Gedolei Yisrael. You know how many Gedolei Yisrael are buried in Queens? And you know, you could go to Kivrei Tzadikim around here as well. So in Beth David Cemetery in Elmont, the tombstone by Rav Henkin is a very simple tombstone. It names a couple of his svarim, his rabbinic positions that he held throughout his life. Just facts. It doesn't have any titles or anything. It just says, you know, Harav, and it says a number of facts about him. It's just very straightforward. Rav Henkin was a Talmud and a Musmach of Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer and Rav Baruch Bar Leibovitz, and he got smicha from the Ritvaz and from the Aruch HaShulchan as well, and he was really overqualified to be a Rav in America at that time. There was not a great deal of Torah scholarship in America in the first part of the 20th century. Rav Elyashiv used to refer to him as the Mora de Asra of America. He wrote svarim that weren't really super popular, and in reality, his tshuvas weren't really published until recently. Because unlike Rav Moshe, who kept a record of every single tshuva that he wrote and was therefore able to publish them, in Igros Moshe, Rav Henkin, you know, you sent him a shaila, he wrote you a tshuva, so he sent you an answer. So there are just people all over the world that have these tshuvas from Rav Henkin, but his family didn't have, like, a collection of his tshuvas. Until a while back, Talmud of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav Daniel Asher Kleinman, who is a wonderful Talmud Chacham and an author of all of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's Kovetz Halachos Svarin, discovered that Rav Henkin must have so much written that, and Rav Shmuel encouraged him to go and try to find it. And Rav Daniel Kleinman connected with Rav Eitam Henkin, Zichrono Livracha, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, who is a great grandson of Rav Henkin, and together they put together the Tshuvas Gvuras Eliyahu, which is a wonderful collection of Rav Henkin's Tshuvas. It was put out beautifully. It was done very, very well, and these two young Talmidei Chachamim became great friends through the Torah HaKadosha, two people who otherwise probably would have had very little shaychus with each other. Rabbi Kleinman is, I believe, a product of the Philadelphia Yeshiva and Beis Medrash Gavoa, and Rav Eitam Henkin is a product of the Mizrahi Dati Leumi world in Eretz Yisrael. They're both geniuses, and they're both rising stars. Unfortunately, Rav Eitam Henkin's star never got to rise as it should have, because he was killed by a terrorist together with his wife a few years ago. But and they came together so much so that when Rav Eitam Henkin passed away, Rabbi Kleinman wrote a beautiful hesped it was printed in Chakira, I believe. Anyway, Rabbi Henkin Sr. was the president of Ezra's Torah starting in 1925, which Ezra's Torah is an organization that does wonderful work to support Talmidei Chachamim, but most famously to us, it produced a luach with all the instructions of what to do. And Rav Henkin had many famous piskei halacha. He was opposed to the minhag that you have in a lot of yeshivas of taking a break before Tchiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah for a kiddush and to have some refreshments. He thought you're not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah. And in fact, when he would give smicha, which was rare, a tanai in his smicha is that you don't eat before Tchiyas Shofar. They say that he used to call Rav Aaron Cutler every year before Rosh Hashanah to wish him a ksiv v'chsimatova, and please, please change the minhag in Lakewood and do not have a kiddush before Tkiyas Shofar, and he didn't really get anywhere with that, but he tried his best. Rav Gifter wrote a letter against objecting to Rav Henkin's vociferous objections to this minhag and saying, you know, this was a minhag of gedolim and it's been around for a long, long time, and you can't say that it's keneged the halacha. But Rav Henkin held strongly about this. Another of his more well-known popular piskei halacha was that Rav Henkin felt that in a case where tuna are being caught, it's permissible to just check only a few of each batch. You don't have to check every fish. Rav Moshe, on the other hand, may have held that you need more than that. You need to check each and every fish to see that they are in fact tuna and that they are in fact kosher. Another major machlok zera Moshe and Rav Henkin that we could have done was that Rav Henkin held that if a Jewish-owned store did a mechira chametz, but then continue to operate on Pesach, so that means that the whole mechira was a sham and it was invalid, and all the chametz is chametz shavar lava Pesach. Rav Moshe held that no, the sale is valid, and the owner of the store is a ganav because he's stealing all of the guy's chametz and he's selling it on Pesach, but it's not, but it doesn't invalidate the sale. And maybe even most famously, Rav Henkin held very strongly that one should not follow the practice that you see in a lot of shuls that bal tefila, when he says the bracha of Al Yisrael, that he whispers the end of the bracha so that people would not answer Amen and thereby be mafsik ben geula l'tfila. Rav Henkin writes in Edus Yisrael, which is one of his svarim, that that is a minhag of amaratzus. It is not at all appropriate. Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say things out loud, and therefore you should recite Ga'al Yisrael out loud. Chazal were misakin that that's the way it was meant to do. And from what I've heard, he made that a tenai in his smicha as well. That if you got smicha for Rav Henkin, you had to promise that you were going to say Ga'al Yisrael out loud. That was something I remember when I was at my brother's house in California once. My sister-in-law is a great-granddaughter of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So each family member got one or two svarim from Rav Moshe's library. So I pulled the sefer off the shelf, Edus Yisrael. I happened to not have a copy at home, so I was interested in seeing what he says there. And I opened it up and it says on the inside cover, Misifrei Moshe Feinstein. I said, ooh, this was a good sefer to pick off the shelf. It's straight from Ramosha's library. So I started reading in there, and the first thing I open up to was where Rav Henkin gives this psak, that Ga'al Yisrael should be said out loud. Now, the relationship Rav Henkin had with Ramosha is an interesting one, because most often Rav Henkin is referred to today in terms of Rav Moshe. How do people call Rav Henkin? The Posek Hadar in America before Rav Moshe arrived. And it's possible that he laid much of the groundwork for the next generation to succeed as they did. Rav Moshe mentions him reverentially several times in Igros Moshe. In Yerodei Chelk Beis Siman Ches, Rav Moshe allows for an operation that might kill a person if the person is definitely going to die in some time without, in a short amount of time without the operation, and the operation might give a person a chance of long-term survival. So Rav Moshe holds, Zehu Atam Shali Hashoresi Laheter, he explains why he's matir, V'hiskim Laza Goin Rav Yosef Elio Henkin Shlita Aval Hayezeh Ora Bal Pevel Obiksav Adata Shani Kosev Zeh Al Piritzono. And he says, you know, Rav Henkin said the same thing, but he only said it bal peh, so he asked me to write a tshuva, so I wrote a tshuva. They collaborated with each other. In Yerodei Chelek Gimel Simon Gimel, Rav Moshe writes that a sheichet who's been behaving improperly should be suspended from doing shchita for a while and only be reinstated after some time passes, some suspension happens. And he writes, Yamod l'mivchan etzel agon Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin baragoshas pegimu b'idias el cheshchita. Before the shochet can go back to his job, he has to pass a bechina from Rav Henkin. And does he know Hilchas Shechita well enough? In Ebn Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed, Rav Moshe allows his Akena, who had to receive a second get, Misafek, to not have to wait the Gimel Chatshe Avchana, the 3 months, before getting remarried. And at the very end of the tshuva, he says, and Rav Henkin agrees with me about this. So you see, Rav Moshe held that to bring Rav Henkin in as someone who agrees with him is not just Kiyudava Od Lekra, it means something. In Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis, Siman Samaches, Rav Moshe writes that Rav Henkin has already paskin that you're allowed to open a refrigerator when the motor is running. It's a tshuva about open up a refrigerator when you left the light on, but at the end he just adds, what about just the fact that the motor might start running? He says, yeah, you don't need me to write something about that. Rav Henkin already paskin that. So you don't need from Rav Moshe Feinstein. seen it. For Yav Rav Henkin already said what to do about that. In Or HaChaim Chelek Hei Simen Chaf, Rav Moshe writes about turning on hot water on Shabbos, that even though Rav Henkin uses a lashon of Yesh LaHachmir, he says you need to know Yesh LaHachmir doesn't mean that it's a chumrah. It means that it's halacha. So he teaches up Rav Henkin's words. He says, you know, Rav Henkin is a posek, so he tells you what to do. He's not speaking halachically, he's speaking instructionally. So Yesh LaHachmir, you should be machmir. Not like we would use it in halachic terminology, where such a lashon would mean that it's only a chumrah. Rav Moshe writes in explaining Rav Henkin in Yeridei Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Daled, he was asked about the kashrus of a particular bird, and Rav Moshe says I had to consult with Rav Henkin. And again in Yeridei Chelek Gimel Siman Mem Daled, he consulted with Rav Henkin about whether hypnosis is prohibited or is permissible. And again in Ebenezer Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Hey, he was matir in aguna only based on the approval of Rav Henkin. And in Ebenezer Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Beis, he discusses how to spell Charleston in a get. It's complicated. And he says, "Ukumdumani shagam agayin Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin ein a kosev hashin." That he says that Rav Yosef Henkin agrees with me about how to spell Charleston. So again, he uses Rav Henkin very much as a support in a number of his tshuvas. Now, what machlokas are we going to talk about tonight? Is the big machlokas, the halachic evaluation of a civil marriage and reform marriage. And this plays a huge role in halacha. I believe one of the maspidim from Moshe at his levaya pointed to this psak as a psak that single-handedly saved hundreds if not thousands of mamzerim from Klal Yisrael, because a lot of people would get married and then they would get divorced without a kosher get. So the question, and then they would get remarried and have families. So if their original marriage was a real marriage, that means that all of those children from the remarriage are mamzerim. Rav Moshe said if their first marriage was just a civil marriage or just a reform marriage, it wasn't a marriage at all, and therefore a get was not really necessary, and therefore when they subsequently get remarried and have children, those children are not mamzerim. Most of the times that Rav Moshe mentions Rav Henkin in Igros Moshe, it's actually related to this machlokas that they had. So a little bit of background to the shaila. The Mishnah in the very beginning of Maseches Kiddushin tells us that a woman could be mekudeshes with kesef, shtar, or bia. Civil marriage ceremonies have no actual religious substance to them, and certainly no religious intent, and the only possible way that they could be halachically married is if you look at it as kiddushei bia, meaning the couple goes home that night, and presumably they're together, and therefore it would be kiddushei bia. The Mishnah in Maseches Gittin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph talks about a guy who's megareish es ishto velana ima bepundiki. A man divorces his wife and then he sleeps with her in the same inn. So Beis Hillel says that the couple is assumed to be remarried because they had bia together. And the Gemara explains that Beis Hillel is assuming that if they were alone in the same room, in the same hotel, hein eide yichud, hein eide bia, we have the right to assume that there was bia. And once there was bia, we assume ein adamosa, bilasa, bilasa. A person wouldn't want his bia to be a bias nus, so it must be that it's done l'shem kiddushin, and therefore that is a kiddushin, says the Mishnah in Gittin, or the Gemara in Gittin explains what the Mishnah means. The halachic issue concerning civil marriage depends on whether those chazakos apply over here as well. Do we say heinein eide yichud, heinein eide bia, and when a couple gets civilly married or reform married, we know that they're having bia, and if they're having bia, they don't want it to be a bias nus, they want it to be a bia l'shem ishus. So the Rishonim don't really discuss civil marriage because there was no such thing until more recently, until the last 150 years or so. But Rishonim did deal with someone who got married in a Catholic ceremony, because sometimes you have Jews who went totally off and converted out, but we know halachically there's no such thing as converting out, and they got married in a Catholic ceremony. So there's a Tshuvas HaRivash in Simen Vav who wrote about this, and he gave two major explanations why they would not be married lahalacha. He says if they're getting married in a Catholic ceremony, it shows that they don't want to be married according to the halacha, and therefore there's no das to get married lahalacha. Plus, says the Rivash, the chazaka veina d'masa bilasa bilas nus doesn't apply to people who won't even keep hilchas nida, because obviously they're violating an issur karis. How can you say, oh, I have a chazaka that they wouldn't want their bia to be a bias nus? They're perfectly happy with their bia being totally prohibited. They're having a bia that's an issur karis, so they don't object to intimacy outside of the context of marriage. And the Trumas Hadashin and Simin Reish Tes and the Radvaz and Chelak Aleph Simin Shin Nun Aleph and the Mishnah Lamelech and Hilchas Gerishin Perikir Halacha Yuches all agree with this Rivash that the name of the Masa Bilas Abilas Nus does not apply in such a case. Shulchan Aruch Nevin Ezer Simin Kuf Mem Tes Siv Vav and the Ramah Nevin Ezer Simin Chavav Siv Aleph Paskin like the Rivash. Shulchan Aruch says that if a man and a woman were forcibly converted and they got married in a Catholic ceremony, even though everyone sees them going into a house alone, so you would think there is no kiddushin between the man and the woman. So where does this leave us as far as la halacha with civil marriages and reform marriages? So comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein and he says it's obvious. Just look at the Rivash and apply it over here. The overwhelming majority of cases of civil marriage or people who are getting married in a reform ceremony, they're not interested in a halachic marriage. If they were, they would seek a halachic marriage out. And therefore, Rav Moshe Nebenezer, Chelik Aleph, Simen Ayin Hay, and he has a few tshuvas in a row about this, says that if they only had a civil marriage and they need a get because in Adam, so I mean, if they were halachically observant, but they for some reason only had a civil marriage, good. Then you could say ein adamosa bilasu bilas nus, and they're going to need a get. But if they're not halachically observant, you can't say ein adamosa bilasu bilas nus, and you're not going to need a get if it's impossible to find a get, especially. Then you can assume that we could be mekel, and many other poskim held like Rav Moshe. Rav Henkin, on the other hand, disagreed. Rav Henkin in Pirushei Ibra, Gimel through Hay, says that if the couple wants to be married, then every time there's intimacy, we should view that as an attempt at kiddushin, as an act of kiddushin. Rav Henkin says that a couple doesn't need to intend to be married la halacha for kiddushin to take effect. All they have to do is intend to be married. That they want, they're doing this because they view this as being married. Kiddushin is created when a couple has relations and intends to have this permanent monogamous relationship where they're going to be what's called married. And he says that the Rivash was talking about a different case. Rivash was talking about people who were converted, who left the Jewish religion entirely. But in the case of people who just were brought up without religion, civil marriage or a foreign marriage, the couple wants to be married. So the marriage, therefore, he suggests, is valid la halacha. Now, it should be mentioned, the overwhelming majority of poskim reject Rav Henkin's shita. In Shuvas Kol Mavasar Simul Chav Beis, Rav Meshulam Roth writes that all of the great poskim of the previous generation say that you do not require again in such a case like Rav Moshe. And in fact, Rav Avram Shapiro in Shuvas Tvar Avram Chelik Gimel Simul Chav Tes says that the psak of the Rivash and the Shuvas Hadesh and the Rivash Shulchan Aruch Rama seems directly against what Rav Henkin is saying. So what's the crux of the issue? It seems they're arguing about what makes kiddushin. Is it the kavana for this monogamous relationship, or is it that no, you need to have kavana for marriage according to Jewish law, that you're married according to Jewish law? So Rav Henkin held that no, you just intend for a monogamous relationship. That is das for kiddushin. Whereas Rav Moshe held no, you have to have intent for marriage according to Jewish law. Otherwise, it doesn't work. The general interest in just being married is not halachically meaningful to us if there's no interest in being married la halacha. Rav Herzog in Shuvas Heichal Yitzchak Ebenezer Chelik Beis in Lamed Aleph Os Gimel and Dalid says that the relations of a couple who believe that they had a halachic ceremony certainly won't won't affect the marriage. Because Rav Herzog points out, meaning, what are you going to say? That you're right, they have no intention for bilas nus. But they want, what are they thinking? They think they're already married. So clearly the bia is not meant to create marriage, so they're not having das to create kiddushin at the time of the bia. And then Mela says, Rav Herzog, they never had any kiddushin. At the time that they got married, there was no valid kiddushin, there was no nesinas tabas in front of two kosher edim, there was no kiddushin kesef, and now that they're having bia, they think they're already married. They don't realize that they're not yet married, so therefore it's not going to be a valid form of kiddushin. But even though Rav Henk and Rav Moshe respected each other greatly and worked very closely together in terms of dealing with the Piskei Halacha of the American Jewish community for a very, very long time, this got very heated. Rav Henkin very publicly, after Rav Moshe wrote his tshuva, disagreeing with Rav Henkin very publicly let his feelings be known. In the journal Hapardes, in Nisan, Tavshin Chav Gimel, Rav Henkin wrote, Litza'ari, he writes that he's upset that he has to do this, but Muchrach Anochi Lios Bal Macha'a Al Hora'aso Benido Nisui Arkos Reformin. He says, I'm not the type of guy that makes a macha'a, that yells about things. Rav Henkin took things in stride. You know, the quote they say is that he used to say, every Jewish boy in America wants to marry Cleopatra. You know, like he was a with it person. He would say things like, you know, but this was Mamzerus, this was Eishes Ish. These were things that he couldn't take lightly. So he said, I have to make a macha'a. It's not in my nature, but I have to do it. Shaladatiu alulasos. Biyichus Yisrael, a terrible destruction. Biyichus Yisrael, levadis and mamzerus and eshesish. Velu av a pasak bal peh hecharashti. Say, no, if Ramesh just would have given the pasak and whispered it to someone, I wouldn't have said anything. Ki makochi. What am I going to argue against the heir? Avul mikivin shadavar bab sefer umakol yagidlo. But he's going to write it down in his sefer. This farkeach sham imasha kasafti b'sefer pirusha yivra, and he's going to argue with what I wrote in my sefer. Hineni mechuyev limchos shalo yomer midashasagol delay. I have to make a macha because I know if I don't make a macha, everyone's going to say, oh, if he didn't make a macha, it must be Rav Henkin agrees with Rav Moshe. And hineni muchrach lachzer al dvarei, and then I'm going to have to back out. But I'm not backing out. V'achiv al mechaber lefarsim shelo yismuchu baze al hora aso ki kolo ra baze aveira hi v'yatzil mashaef shalatzil. He says this is a terrible aveira to paskin like Rav Moshe on this issue. And he says, and you should know, I sent a private letter to Rav Moshe, and I didn't see any gilei das that he where he expressed that he's gone through my other letters and has admitted my points. So he writes, Bitsar miyuchad al mashu ulai yigra mechtav itzar lehadros go'onuzo, that I feel terrible that I'm going to cause him agmas nefesh because I love him. He says, aval melech ha-shamayim hi, but it's melech ha-shamayim. That's the way a gadol argues, meaning he can't not say something because this is the yichus of Klal Yisrael at stake. But there's a way to say something, and that is that I love Rav Moshe, I respect Rav Moshe, and it bothers me and it hurts me that I have to become a Bal Macha'a, and it bothers me and it hurts me that he's going to be hurt by this, but I have to say something. Rav Moshe went so far as to say that a reform marriage is not a kiddushin because there's no anan sahadi that the giving of the ring was kiddushin. Because even the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that you don't have to actually see the giving of the ring at the ceremony. Let's say you have two Eidim that are watching the Kiddushin, and then the photographer snaps and the flash goes off just as the ring is being put on the finger. So the Eidim blink, and then they open their eyes and they see the ring on the Kala's finger. Chasam Sofer says it's fine. Why is that fine? Because you know what happened. It's an Umdana Demuchach that there was a ring placed on the finger. That's what we call Eidus Yediya. There was knowledge that that's what happened. But says Rav Moshe, with Reform rabbis, there's no umdana demuchach. If no two kosher edim saw it happen, you have no reason to assume that it actually happened, that there was a ma'aseh kiddushin. And it then follows that there's no chazaka that ain't the most abilas abilas nos, because they think they're already married, so they're not going to be they're not going to intend for their bia to be for the sake of marriage. So Rav Henkin responded to that point as well, not only about civil marriages but about reform marriages. And Rav Henkin wrote v'hafle v'fele mamish. He says tismar saros rosh. He says my hair stands up on end. Mashehikil with a scotch lefnei hareformim, that he was willing to be makil by people who got married with reform rabbis. So Rav Henkin writes v'chiyeh tzorech b'mesada kiddushin im amar Yehudi liisha harei mukadashus b'fnei edim nasesh sish. He says, you need a mesada kiddushin? We don't believe in that. The Jewish religion does not believe that a mesada kiddushin, makes people married. There's an expression in English that I married them. That we don't do that. A rabbi doesn't marry the couple. The couple gets married. The man is mekadesh the isha. She's mekabeles kiddushin from the man who's mekadesh the isha. But there's no the rabbi marrying them. We do not. I hereby declare you man and wife. That could invalidate the whole kiddushin by if they think that that's what's happening. Then there's no das for kiddushin. Probably that's not the way we do it. Says Rav Henkin. The mesada kiddushin is like the least important person at the wedding. He's just there to make sure that they know what they're doing. That they make sure that they do it. That they do it right. But the maisa kiddushin. In fact, someone told me that Rav Huttner was opposed to the practice that many people have that the chasen and kala face away from the crowd at the time of the chuppah. Some people are dafka makbid to do like that because they feel that it should be a private moment and they don't want to face hundreds of people or whatever, so they want to face away from the crowd. I'm told that Rav Huttner was opposed to that practice because he thought it gives the impression that the officiating rabbi who's then facing the crowd is the one that is hereby marrying them, that he's in front of b'fnei am ve'eda, I hereby declare you married. But that is not at all what happens. Rav Soloveitchik held that they should face Mizrach, which could be a little funny. You bring like a compass to the chuppah and like they'll end up facing like at some weird angle. Anyway, different minhagim of how to face. But so says Rav Henkin, why do I care that the Mesada Kiddushin was a reform rabbi? He says, we have Edom. Everyone knows, the entire from community knows that this couple is living together as man and wife. No one knows what was reform. They're living as a married couple, and that's enough to make it that they are married. And he says, "V'zeheter eshes ishla alma v'kol bali hora'a mar ishim alze." He says, "Ramosh is being matir eshes ish to marry other people, and most of the real poskim can't tolerate such a thing." So oddly, many times in Nigus Ramosha says that when it came to reform marriages, that even Rav Henkin agreed with him. I don't know if we have any evidence that that's true. In fact, in Tshuvas B'nei Banim, Rav Henkin's grandson in Chelek Beis Amlam Ches writes that it's not true, that Rav Henkin never backed out. Having said that, there may be some exceptions. There are some cases where maybe not everyone agrees to Rav Moshe. Like I mentioned before, Rav Eliyashiv holds like Rav Moshe, and Rav Scheinberg held like Rav Moshe. Most of the Gedolei Aposkim held like Rav Moshe on this issue, but there might be some exceptions. Like, for example, very often you'll have a non-observant couple who got married with a civil marriage, and then they became more observant. So they didn't marry according to the halacha, but you could argue that as they became more observant of mitzvos, they want to be halachically married. And if they're having continued relations, those relations affect marriage because of Einad Mosabilas Obilas Nus. Meaning, while Rav Meish is not willing to say Einad Mosabilas Obilas Nus by people who are not religious, but once they've become religious, so if you have a couple that was not observant of Torah and mitzvos, and then they became observant, so usually they'll talk to a rabbi, and the rabbi will say, well, maybe let's do another kiddushin just in case. You want to get them married again, but at least to put their minds at ease a little bit, to say, it could very well be that you are married, that you are in fact married, and probably in that case we would require a get midina, like not just as a chumrah, because probably in that case we would many more poskim would agree to Rav Henkin's point of view in that case. Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg in Sri De'esh Chel Gimel Simchav Beis agrees with the Shita, the Dvar Avram, that a Beis Din has to investigate each and every case, that he strongly opposed Rav Moshe just giving a blanket statement that it's all fine. And he writes, Psako Shel Agen Rav Moshe Feinstein Einu Nira Be'enai, and that which he says, Ki Rabbanei HaReformim Einu Makpidim Al Masiris Tabas HaKidush Me'achasin L'Kala, that they, by Reform weddings, the Chasin doesn't give a Kala a ring. He says, Zeh Chiddush Gadol Be'enai. He says, I don't to know about that. I think you really need to investigate that. I don't know if you could just make that assumption that there's no actual Mesiris Tabas and that all the Edom are necessarily Psulim. So Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg also writes, Vein Ritzoni Latzeis Negdo Bepumbi, I have no interest in making a big public machlogas about this. Avol Misyariani, Ka'acherim Yimtzu, Makom Lisnapalolav. But I'm afraid, I'm worried about Ramesh over here. People are going to, you know, this is not going to be good for him. We need to make this very, very clear. So you do have cases where another case of Ben Zion Uziel, the Chuvas Mishpatei Uziel says, if a couple lived in a country where it was illegal to have a Jewish wedding, but they wanted to be married Jewishly, then maybe over there also you would say, Einotem bilas, also bilas, bilas nus. So this psak of Ramesha, which we celebrate as a great heroic psak that saved Mamzerus and Eishes Ish and all of these terrible, terrible Averos, Rav Henkin thought was a terrible mistake of Rav Moshe, and these two Gedolei Haposkim of America, although they agreed on so many things and they worked together on so many things, they disagreed on this issue. So again, I just once again want to thank Rav Shai Shechter Shlita for putting together this entire program. It was an absolute kavod to participate in it, and wishing everyone an enjoyable rest of the summer, and particularly to enjoy the next half hour of your summer with Rabbi Larry Rothwax's Shir Bezras Hashem.